get in touch with WPKN.
Yeah, I think in a way I just have this image of sort of like the radio station sort of gaining its content through the community. That is to say, the community, as we develop the strip, which I think is a really, really great idea.
Well, we have about 40 pieces. I'm a painter and printmaker myself, and I have to look back up for a tiny bit and let you know.
Personally, I had three small sons who were school-aged at that time.
Boy, so you're kind of living proof of the idea that you can generate emotions.
I'm learning. I'm in no way finished.
I'd like to encourage anyone who's listening. You know, if you have a topic, if you have some suggestions for guest speakers.
They can get a lot of information, much more than I've given.
I think student audiences and audiences of young people always make.
Yeah, you guys sound good.
And a very good afternoon to all of you at 89.5 FM. We are WPKN Community Radio.
Thank you.
And it is the third Monday of the month. So as the general manager, I get a chance to do my GM report to the listeners. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, and welcome aboard this month's look at some activities in and around WPKN. And we also have a chance to usually invite in some nonprofits and also some friends of WPKN. And this show today, let me just go through some of the highlights. I'm going to talk a little bit about some activities happening here next week at WPKN, and also a music series that is coming up that is actually already happening in Westport. I've got some featured guests that will be joining me here via telephone and Zoom. Lawrence Queso will be on. He's the executive director of the Klein Auditorium. And I'm also going to be joined after that by Shawnee Knight and Tina Kramer, co-founders of the nonprofit called Filling in the Blanks. Then I'll have a chance to talk with Allison Stockel, who's director of the Ridgefield Playhouse. And she's going to talk a little bit about Save Our Stages, an initiative for some federal funding for theaters, and also about their upcoming 20th anniversary season. Mark Nussbaum was going to be joining us from Premier Concerts and Manic Presents, but he is unable to be part of the show today, so we'll probably come back to him in October to get their perspective on life during COVID with College Street Music Hall and some of the other smaller venues that Manic also books shows into. And our final guest will be Laurie Jones, who's the Director of Programming and Audience Development for the Quick Center for the Arts at Fairfield University, to talk a little bit about their upcoming fall virtual season. We're all getting pretty used to that word, virtual. Let me start off just by talking about a couple of things happening. First of all, we wanted to mention the fact that we're really happy to be a media partner in Westport for some concerts that have been taking place at MoCA Westport. And already one concert has been performed, and coming up on this Saturday evening, the Fred Hirsch Trio will be performing at MoCA Westport. It's an outdoor concert and, again, limited seating. And then they have just announced an event, Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra Septet with Wynton Marsalis performing The Sound of Democracy, and that's going to be Friday, October 2nd. At 7 p.m. Again, tickets are available at the MoCAWestport.org website. And we're happy to be a media partner for this jazz series. They've really put together some really stellar names. Now, next week, on Monday and Tuesday, WPKN is going to be doing its first fall on-air fund drive. And it's I think it's bound to be a a theme that resonates with a lot of listeners. So it's simply called Lennon and McCartney. And what we're going to be doing is focusing on John Lennon, Paul McCartney, probably the most famous writing duo in terms of selling records, for sure. And of course, they are the names behind the Beatles. And we're going to also be doing lots and lots of Beatles music as well. And we're very excited. It's going to be next week, Monday and Tuesday, September 28th and the 29th. We have lots of very interesting musical premiums that relate both to John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And we have some Beatles vinyl. We have some cover music. Black America Sings, the songbooks of Lennon and McCartney. And besides musical premiums, we have some great WPKN swag. We're going to have a brand new T-shirt designed by Martha Willette Lewis. It's a Lennon McCartney shirt with WPKN 89.5 FM and WPKN.org, a likeness of the two faces. And it says All Together Now. You could go to our website at WPKN.org and be able to take a look and see what it all looks like. And besides the swag that we have from WPKN, you know, the usual, the coffee and all the different items, we have also some environmentally friendly premiums. And those would be color blends. Wholesale Flower Bulbs have put together a very interesting package of daffodils, a 50-pack of bulbs. They are local to Bridgeport, and also they have main operations in Holland. So they've worked with us before, and you've probably heard some underwriting from Color Blends. And we're really happy to have this mixed daffodil package as a part of our premium mix. Of course, we also have the New York Times, the Washington Post, and also Babbel. These are for sustaining supporters primarily. You can get digital subscriptions to both New York Times, Washington Post, and then for Babbel, you can get a one-year subscription, and it gives you actually access to all 14 languages. So, yeah, if you want to learn multiple languages, you probably have found a good premium. Something brand new is what is called the BioBag composting system, and it is basically, courtesy of one of our underwriters that has put together. It's a kitchen top counter ventilated compost bucket. I actually have one that's slightly different than what is being offered, but it is basically so that you can keep it in your kitchen and put food scraps, etc., into a smaller type of bucket, and then bring it out to your composting heap. There are also going to be some bio bags. So that we're offering that as a, actually together, the bucket and the bio bags for a premium. So some different things coming up. I want to thank Novamont for putting that on the table for WPKN. Now, let me also talk about an event coming up. I'm going to bring up my first guest, Lawrence Queso. Lawrence, how are you doing?
Doing great, Steve. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I wanted to just tell our listeners that Lawrence Queso is the executive director of the Klein Memorial Auditorium here in Bridgeport. And he had a very interesting and full career as an Emmy Award-winning TV producer at CBS as well. And we're lucky to have him here in Bridgeport running the Klein. And, of course, you know, it's been a little bit unusual given the status in the world with the COVID-19 pandemic as an auditorium that has really been producing events and booking shows. It really has been very difficult, obviously, for any of the venues out there. But Lawrence, to his credit, has come up with a new program, and I'm very excited, and I've written about it already in an e-newsletter that it's really fun to see that somebody is trying to do an outdoor, socially distanced concert series. And Lawrence, I think congratulations for putting this together. It's called Main Stage at the Klein, and it kicks off 4 weekends this Saturday. So, Lawrence, talk a little bit about the series, how you decided to do it, and basically how you have been, you know, getting through this period of the pandemic.
Sure, thank you. The Main Stage at the Klein is actually, we're picking up on an event that was very successful for us last year, where we had an all-day music festival inside. And for this year, given the circumstances, we took our time through the summer and finally decided that it would be appropriate to do something outdoors. And so we've planned great concerts with a wonderful lineup of talent for 4 consecutive Saturdays, and they all take place at 2 p.m. The first one is this Saturday, and it's a funk show. It stars Jen Durkin's Steal Your Funk and the Name Droppers and the Vicky F. Band. And then the following week, we've got Fat Astronaut and Chesky and some others. October 10th, the Zambonis, Sergeant Skag, and Chaser 8. And we finish with a hip-hop show with recording star Rod Digga on October 17th. These are in association with Full Blast Booking. Ken Mercer, who is a promoter,
sure,
lined up the talent and has been working carefully with us. And we are donating a portion of the profits to Mental Health Connecticut.
Yeah, I saw that. I think that's a nice touch to do that.
And as well, for this first week, one of our sponsors, which is Southwest Community Health Center,
mm-hmm,
is going to do on-site COVID-19 testing. So you can get a free COVID-19 test and then come and grab a beer and enjoy a concert.
Nice, nice. Now, it's a ticketed event, and I will tell people that it's specifically, I believe, an advanced ticket event, correct? Because you have to.
It is.
Limit
you need
the...
to go on our. You can come to the box office and purchase this week, but you need to get on our website, which is theklein.org, and you'll see the 4 concerts up there, and you can purchase online. And we won't have printed out tickets. You can print something at home, but it'll be on your phone. It's all virtual.
Yeah. Well, I actually have gone through the process. It was pretty easy. I'm really chomping at the bit to hear some live music, and these are all kind of local groups. We didn't have a chance. You know, I live in Black Rock, and we always had the Black Rock Porch Fest. We had to cancel that this August, and, you know, just the opportunity to hear some live music, and I know that you're going to, you know, I mean, what's the maximum capacity that you're looking at?
About 300.
Okay.
Everybody will be assigned. We're going to cut off ticket sales Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives us Friday to be able to come up with a seating chart for everyone. And the process is you'll drive into the main gate and have your temperature taken while you're still in your car. And then you'll be given an assignment with a number of your pod. And then you can park your car in the outer fringes of the big lot that we have,
mm-hmm,
and bring in your lawn chair and go right to your pod. And each pod is 8 by 18 feet, and it can accommodate up to 4 people with social distancing. And face masks are required.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got enough pods there to get about 300 plus, really.
So is this really like a physical structure, or like when you say pod, or is it just kind of
what
marking?
What we've done is
distance?
We're marking off the parking lot,
yeah,
with all the different numbers and stencils and things.
Super.
And just painting it on the parking lot so everybody will know where their square is, and we'll have ushers to get you to the right place.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, you know, people can dress accordingly. It's just, you know, it's you can layer up. I looked at the forecast. It looks really good.
Saturday looks great.
Yeah, so that should be fun, and I like the fact that some of the proceeds will be donated to Mental Health Connecticut as well. And you know, we're going to be with you for all four of these, supporting the series. Some of our programmers are in a few of these bands. I know Dylan is in Fat Astronaut, which is on the second Saturday. And the third Saturday, there's Zambonis. Bob Anderson is the drummer, one of our programmers. And it's just, I think it's a great community event. And it's fortunate, I think, you know, because you have the parking lot, it's, you know, you're able to do that where it all makes sense, and it's right across the street from, you know, the main building. So, you know, looking forward to that. Main Stage at the Kline 2020, and again, since it's going to be a set amount of entries, you do need to, if you want to go, you need to go in advance to thekline.org to make those ticket purchases. And otherwise, what else is happening on the indoor scene? Is there anything that is able to be programmed yet?
One really exciting development is that just last week we installed a live streaming system. We now have three robotic cameras that can cover all the angles on the stage.
Nice.
And so we're going to be doing some streaming events. Most likely, the first one will be right around our 80th anniversary, which that particular date is November 11th. We haven't set the exact date for our live streaming cast, but we're talking about doing something that's very organic to the Kline and should be a good way to break in the system and introduce our patrons to what we hope will be a continuing series for as long as this goes on. That system will get a lot of use even when we're fully open, but particularly during this time, it will be something that we will be able to present. We also have been doing our after-school program, Kline Theater Arts, and we had a great summer session, and next Tuesday we start the fall semester, and they'll be doing their semester-ending concert on December 3rd, right on stage, live-streamed to families and friends. So
well, that sounds like, the live-streaming, that new system is certainly going to be put to good use, no doubt. So congratulations on doing
that. Thank you. I'm very grateful to Don Gamsjager, who owns DNR Laboratories, because he actually donated the system to us.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Again, talking with Lawrence Queso from the Kline, and we were talking about primarily the main stage of the Kline that kicks off the first of the four Saturdays. It kicks off this Saturday. Thanks again, Lawrence.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, good.
See you.
Yep. We'll be right back with our next guests right here on GM Report to the listeners. This is WPKN Community Radio. Stay tuned. Back we are on the GM Report to the listeners for the month of September, and I wanted to welcome to the show Shawnee Knight and Tina Kramer. They are co-founders of the nonprofit that is called Filling in the Blanks, and I was on their website and had a chance to talk with them a little bit last week, and I always like to see the backstory. And according to the website, it says Filling the Blanks was founded by mothers and community activists Shawnee Knight and Tina Kramer, who created the nonprofit as a way to marry their loves of community, children, food, and charity. And it goes back, it looks like, to 2013. And I just wanted to welcome you both to the show. And perhaps you could fill in some of the gaps about your backstory and how exactly you are working with food and with schools in not only Fairfield County but also I think in Westchester County as well. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us here. This is such a great opportunity to be with you this afternoon. So basically, we started this, like you said, in 2013 when we were made aware of the great need that I feel like is unrecognized in our community. I was not aware that there were kids in my own backyard that were going hungry. And so we came up with a way to pack a weekend bag of food, and we partner with the schools, and they distribute the bag to the children on Fridays. We started out really small, and we were, clipping coupons and going to Costco and loading up our cars and, with the help of friends, packing up these bags. And it's really grown and expanded, which we're grateful to be able to feed so many children. But at the same time, it's also sad because it means there are so many kids that are going without food on the weekends. And we've really seen a new increase in the numbers of people that are finding themselves in need maybe for the first time right now. Mm.
And so tell me a little bit about, on the operational side, so you're delivering food and your distribution system is through, preschools and elementary schools? Do you do other types of high schools as well? And
yes, so we deliver 3,200 bags a week to students in Norwalk, Greenwich, Stamford, New Canaan, and Bedford Hills, New York. And the bags are shelf-stable, easy-to-prepare food items that kids can make on their own. There are four meals in each bag. There's two breakfast items, two lunch items, four snacks, shelf-stable milk, and then the kids that we are serving are from preschool through high school, and they are also at community centers in the area.
And so, in terms of the operations of putting all this food together, I mean, first of all, how do you come by your food products, and then where are you actually? Do you have a big warehouse somewhere, or how do you? And a big workforce that has to put these meals together?
So we rely on volunteers to help us pack our bags, which has become, a big challenge because of COVID. Had to really kind of limit the contact that people have. And, obviously with safety precautions, we have small groups that come in and pack at our warehouse, which is located in Norwalk, Connecticut, at 346 Main Avenue. So we have small groups of people come in and pack the food. We purchase almost all of the food. So the way that we are able to do that is through fundraising.
Okay.
Typically, it was events brought in all of our money. However, again, due to COVID, we have canceled all of our events. So that's affected our fundraising. So we've really had to try to work hard on that.
I can imagine. I mean, so you're not really doing donated food products then. You're going out and purchasing most of them.
We do purchase the majority of it. We are having a drive-through food drive this Tuesday, tomorrow, from 3 to 5.
Oh, that's good timing. Tell me a little bit about how that works, because I saw that as one of your upcoming events, and obviously with fundraising opportunities really restricted. Talk a little bit about how that works. Tomorrow, yeah.
So tomorrow we're working with Connect Community Church, and we've collaborated on a food drive. We're collecting very specific items that are harder for us to get at the moment. So it's shelf-stable milk, like the Little Horizons milk, tuna fish, and mac and cheese. And these are the staples in our bags. And currently, because food costs are going up, these are harder to get. So these are the items we're collecting tomorrow. And it'll be drive-through, and it'll be contactless. So if people put the items in their trunk, they could just pop the trunk. A volunteer will take it out, and this way there's no contact.
Sure. And I see there's another upcoming event. You have something called a holiday backpack drive, and the poster says, try to help feed 3,200 kids in your neighborhood. And is this something that you've done on an annual basis, or is this something new?
Yeah, so every year the kids in our program get a brand new backpack that has a toy, a book, a box of pancake mix and syrup. And so this year we're collecting, or we've started our drive for new backpacks and or a Jenga toy.
Hmm.
And people could go on directly to our wish list on Amazon. It's on our website. And you could just buy the backpack or Jenga directly, and it comes straight to our warehouse.
And so one more time, if you could just give out your web address, because I'm sure that we have a lot of listeners that might be interested in getting involved in some capacity.
Sure. It's fillingintheblanks.org.
Okay.
And there'll be a pop-up if you want to go straight to the Amazon wish list. Otherwise, there's a virtual food drive online that we have as well. And you could read the articles on what we're doing and what we're up to at the moment.
In terms of expansion, is there, we're based in Bridgeport, and I don't know if that has ever been on your radar, or if you are so strapped now that it's, you're kind of at capacity, or how, do you entertain or look for expansion opportunities?
Yeah, so since COVID, we've expanded to 1,000 additional kids since March alone. So in the next year, we're going to figure out what the next town is we're going to go to.
Hmm.
So we're trying to cover all the kids in the current towns and then move on to the neighboring towns. We're not sure which one yet, though.
Yeah. Well, it's really quite a remarkable nonprofit. And I think that I was with Rob Fried from Band Central over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Rob had put us in touch with each other. And he was talking about, an incredible number, kind of a milestone that you just hit. I don't know if you've mentioned that yet today, but in terms of the number, is it the number of meals that you've served?
Yes. Yeah, so since we have started, we this week served our millionth meal.
Wow, that's remarkable. Since 2013. Well, good for you.
Thank you. And it was supposed to be in January of next year that we were serving it, but with the increased need in the community, it's come sooner than we expected.
Yeah. Well, you're providing a great service, and certainly this idea of filling in the blanks, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of kids, they often, that's where they're getting some of their most important meals, during the school day, is from school. And if they don't have the food, that's a big problem. Shawnee Knight and Tina Kramer, co-founders of the nonprofit Filling in the Blanks, and keep doing some of the great work that you're doing. And we appreciate you coming on to WPKN Community Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And we'll be back with Allison Stockel. I think she's going to be on the line with us, so we'll be right back. GM Report to the listeners on WPKN. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the GM Report to the listeners for the month of September. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, GM here at WPKN, and happy to have Allison Stockel on the phone, the director of the Ridgefield Playhouse. Allison, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. All things considered, I mean, it's been, I don't have to tell you, it's been such a difficult period for, you know, arts organizations in general, but if you're a venue, a concert venue, it's been particularly difficult. And so I thought maybe we could just start out by, you know, just talking a bit about what the last few months have been like.
Yeah.
And kind of how you're dealing with, you know, alternative planning.
Right. Yeah, part of me feels like, you know, we can all complain, right? I mean, everybody's in the same boat with this. I mean, whether you're in the restaurant industry, the entertainment industry, whatever it is, you really just have to look at it as, okay, this is happening, right? No fault of your own. It's here. So what can we do? Now is the time when you have to be able to pivot, think creatively, and just be solution oriented. And I know I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, well, you just have to be solution, but you kind of do. I mean, there's no other way to handle the situation. I mean, our last show was March 13th. That was our last live show. And March 16th, we're like, all right, what do we do? And we started streaming shows on March 16th. That was our first streaming show, live stream. And that's what we did for the first few months. We knew we weren't going to make money. We weren't asking for money. We were just doing it to stay out there, to continue our mission, to stay relevant. We did a few fundraisers for artists where we did a virtual tip jar and they would perform. And we had some artists that did $800 in their virtual tip jar, some artists that did $2,000 in their virtual tip jar. We did a fundraiser with other arts organizations like ACT, which is a theater that does, you know, musicals and whatnot shows. And we did, you know, did little things here and there. And then in June, everybody wanted to see movies. And so we did a couple of outdoor movies. We did 4 outdoor movies, drive-in movies. That was difficult.
Did you do that using the parking lot right outside your building?
Well, we didn't, because we wound up using the parking lot at the high school, because our lot, you know, we have ball games on the ball field. It's a shared lot with other things that are going on in town. But I got to be honest with you, any parking lot is hard, because parking lots are not meant to be drive-in movies. You know, we have to deal with the lighting poles and the trees and the... But we did the best we could. People enjoyed it. We did it free for the community. I know other places, you know, were charging for it. We didn't do that. And then at the end of June, we were told, okay, you can open at half capacity for filmed events, for movies. And, you know, we do the Bolshoi Ballet. We do the Metropolitan Opera. We do... all sorts of stuff. So we said, okay, let's pivot again and let's continue what we do with our rock series, our family series, our Met Opera, our Bolshoi Ballets, and let's present the arts on film. And that's what we did. We still do. We have a rock series Friday nights. We do some kind of rock movie, whether it's Rocket Man, and we did. We just did The Wall, Pink Floyd's The Wall. So they're always different rock movies, and so our rock series continues that way. Mm-hmm. We've been doing family movies as part of our family series. We've been doing Broadway. We did Kinky Boots and 42nd Street and National Theatre of London. So we have been presenting all aspects of the arts on film. And then in July 3rd, actually, right before July 4th weekend, we were told you can do outdoor concerts up to 500 people. So we don't do 500 people. We do a tent next to the playhouse. We did a couple of them in the park. We do about 300, 350 people.
Yeah,
I
heard they went very well, too.
They did. Yeah. It did go well. We did Grace Potter in the park. We did a couple of comedians. We did Martin Sexton here under the tent next to the Playhouse. We did Javier Colon. We've been doing a lot of really great artists. And coming up this weekend, we've got two sold-out shows with Bill Burr, and we have a family show on Sunday.
And so is that in the tent, or is that indoors?
That's under
now?
The tent. Yeah. Everything right now, we can't have – so right now, you can only have 25 people inside, no matter whether you're a 100-person theater, 500-person theater, or 5,000-person theater. It's 25 people.
Oh, I thought it was a quarter.
No, they haven't done a capacity yet.
Okay.
They haven't. It's 25, not 25%.
Okay, so that's a pretty finite number.
It's 25. A very finite number, and you know the funny thing is that I'm allowed to do half capacity for movies, so I can have. I mean, we do maybe 100, maybe 80 people max when we did like Kinky Boots, which gives us. I mean, we're 500 seat theater, so you can really spread out. You know, 80 people nicely, but the fact is, if we had enough people coming, 250 people to see a movie, and I can only do 25 people to see a live show.
Right.
And it doesn't; they don't differentiate between live, whether it's a piano player or a comedian or a guitar player. There's no. There's no difference. And to me, if you're doing a solo acoustic show versus like a five, like Pat Benatar and a, and her big band, there's a huge difference as to what would be on stage and, what the endangerment would be, so to speak.
Right.
So I think that there are ways to have live music. Again, I'm fine with it being at a limited capacity. I'm working with the state to try and figure that part out, to be honest. I'm, even today I'll probably be following up and seeing, where we are with that. I've been giving suggestions.
Now, and how about, on the federal level, that I know that you recorded a PSA for us about the Save the Stages, and we've reached out to, places like the Bijou and College Street and Cafe 9 and that type of those type of places. Talk a little bit about, are you involved in that Save Our Stages initiative that
I am. I'm involved with it in terms of, NEVA, NEDO. There are people that I work with that are agents and managers that are very involved on that federal level because
is there actually a bill that is
there is
in Congress that maybe but has it been brought up or scheduled for a vote?
No. So right now what they are doing is we actually just had a meeting with Murphy's people, someone in the higher up of his his people that work for him. And right now it's trying to get everybody on board with it. Klobuchar brought the bill, to on the federal level, and she's working actually with it's a Republican senator and a Democrat, so it's bipartisan. So the good news is that everybody wants the economy to get back. Everybody knows that the arts and culture is a huge part of the economy, helping the economy because people eat and rest, can then go out to eat. And it brings people to a community, whether you're a small community like Ridgefield or a large city like New York, right? The
Correct.
Broadway
yeah.
theater, arts and culture is the hub of what will help bring the economy back. I mean, it just will. So they all kind of know that. It's just getting the government. So it's a ten. Save Our Stages is $10 billion, which sounds like a lot, but in the scheme of things, it's actually not, because the other, the Restart Act is, you're talking about, oh my God, it was like $100 billion. It was a ridiculous amount. A ridiculous amount. So that one might not go through. They're still working on that. That would be not just for the arts organizations. The Restart Act would be for more like a secondary PPP for the smaller businesses to help keep them open.
Right.
And Save Our Stages is just for not just venues. It's actually expanded a little into helping the agents and the managers, and they would like for it to expand into helping the artists. Right now, the money will not go to artists just yet, but the concept is if it goes to the venues and to the managers and the agents, that will then in turn help the economy for the artists. Right, you need a place to perform. The interesting thing is that a lot of people, when they hear, this is not for the Live Nation larger type of places. That's not what this bill is for. It's for the mid to smaller size venues that are really the culture, the economy.
In many cases, they're like the incubators, right, of new
talent.
They're
the community, exactly. Right. They're part of the infrastructure of there's a lot that goes into. I think people don't really understand what goes into when you do a show. It's not just you're paying a person to be on a stage, and that person makes money in tickets, and the money goes to the venue. That's kind of a very simplified way of looking at it. For every show that happens, there are, 10 loaders. There's lighting. There's sound. There's about 10 people in the venue that are working just to get everything happening in the box office and backstage and all that other stuff, not to mention the crew that the artists that work with the artists, the tour manager, they're all of their people, all the hospitality that comes from the local restaurants. Like, there is a lot of money and jobs that happen for every single show that gets done.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it's a very, it's a balance. It's a very, intricate balance of what happens when shows happen. And when you have a place like the Playhouse, which would typically do 200 shows a year or more, it's a lot of jobs that are...
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
Yeah, and that's we're just one venue. I mean, think about it. Think about Connecticut, what a small state we are, and how many venues are in Connecticut.
Yeah, and how many are going to probably go out of business, I mean, that's the harsh reality, but I know that a lot of them are really teetering at this point. So, by the way, we're talking with Allison Stockel, who's the director of the Ridgefield Playhouse, and I'm going to have to probably cut away from this interview, Allison, but I do want to just mention that congratulations on your 20th year in operation, and I do want to give you just a minute or so to talk about, I know you have a gala coming up on October 3rd.
We do, and we're doing it a little bit differently than we would have planned.
Yeah.
But we're doing it where so we got Bruce Hornsby. He is actually going to perform live on our stage. And there are a few ways you can see him. Sponsors, we're limited with the number of people, as I mentioned, that could actually be inside the theater, so that's only going to be for sponsors. And then we have gala tickets where you get under a tent. It's October 3rd. You go under a tent. There's a huge screen with a live feed from what's happening inside the theater. And then you could also get a streaming ticket through Bands in Town that will show you everything that's happening, and you could just stay at home and do it. But the nice thing about it is that we have everyone from Graham Nash, Joan Baez, people that have performed at the Playhouse over the past 20 years that are doing virtual appearances, and we're just, we're so thrilled that we were able to do something that was special and is a great hybrid. This is the only fundraiser that we're doing this year. We had to cancel our summer gala. We don't know if we're going to be doing our Valentine's Day event yet, because we don't know what phase three is going to bring or how many people will be able to do inside, if any. So this is it. And I think that we're going to open up our auction. Our silent auction is going to be available online with a link. And we really open the vaults. And we have everything from signed Willie Nelson posters, and we have a beautiful djembe signed by Toots from Toots and the Maytals, who just recently passed.
Yeah, I remember being at that concert at Ridgefield Playhouse.
Yeah, so there's
Playhouse. A
beautiful, beautiful hand-carved djembe that he signed.
Nice.
That we're going to auction off, because we're like, you know what? This is it. We need people to support us. We have beautiful things and wonderful history, and so now's the time to share it with everyone in exchange for keeping our doors open.
Good. Well, thanks again, Allison. And if you want, if our listeners want more information, go to ridgefieldplayhouse.org. You can look up all the information about who's coming, what kind of events are being held, and also get some information about the October 3rd, 20th anniversary gala. Thanks again, and all the best to you, Allison.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good. So we're going to try to go right into a Zoom call, see if this works. Let me figure out if this Lori Jones should be on the phone. Lori, are you there?
Yep. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for joining us. And Lori Jones is no stranger to WPKN. We've been partnering as a media partner with the Quick Center for the Arts for a number of years now. We've had a couple of venues on already, Lori. We just were talking with Allison Stockel, and we also had Lawrence Case on, talking about different aspects of either events or galas. But Lori Jones is the director of programming and audience development, and they are putting, well, they have already put together their fall season, and it's, again, like most facilities, it's kind of a virtual season, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so maybe you could start just by kind of setting the table for what is it like, you know, in your role to to be looking at a virtual season as opposed to, you know, live dance companies coming through and bands and jazz and orchestras and that type of thing. How have you had to pivot and come up with a season?
Yes. Well, first, thanks for having me. And it's been great listening to what everybody else is doing. I always enjoy that part of your show. And so I can share that, you know, with the Quick Center, we did obviously need to pivot pretty quickly to a virtual season. But we thought about it and we were like, how do we still keep this exciting for us, exciting for our patrons? How do we share in the resources that we have with our community? And how are we good sort of community stewards in that process? And so it has certainly been a transition. Because, you know, we love that live experience. We love having that dance company or that jazz artist on our stage and that intimate experience with the audience. But at the same time, a lot of that is sort of this, like I put in quotes, this conversation, whether it's the artistic side of it or the conversation around the creativity. And so we're really trying to bring that to light and still feature artists and still feature incredible speakers who can really help our audiences dive into that creative process or into conversations that we would typically see on our stage.
Hmm.
So really sort of reflecting that experience.
Right. Well, one of the things that I know that you've been very active developing at the Quick Center are some of the, like the Quick Live series.
Yes.
And also this this Open Minds Institute, which I, correct me if I'm wrong, but it has, you have an incredible number of really interesting podcasts that are tied into that Open Minds Institute. And it's also, is it also part of an ongoing series?
It is, yeah. So just to sort of sum it up for everyone to make it as clear as possible. Yeah. So as we move to virtual, we do have 60 programs just this fall, which is pretty robust.
Yeah.
And within that, over 80% of that programming is completely free to the general public, and they can go straight to thequicklive.com and just view the events. And obviously our full calendar is at quickcenter.com, but they can go to thequicklive.com and be able to view the live event, because everything is live and in person in that sense, with the speaker or artist. And then we also have archives of all of those events. So if you missed it, couldn't see it at that exact time, you can actually go back and view the archive of it. And so that programming is free and anyone can go and access it. And then we do have what we're considering sort of our premier ticketed events. And those are the Open Visions Forum events that you're accustomed to seeing, Anne Hampton Calloway, theater production, those kinds of things. And those, you do have to purchase a ticket through quickcenter.com or with our box office. But you're going to get a sort of a more exclusive experience with that. And if you become a Quick member, you actually get everything for free. So then you just cut out the middleman. As soon as you become a Quick member, you access it all and have those other exclusive experiences.
Well, that's an interesting opportunity option as well. So
yeah.
Go to the Quick Center. What would be the best place for them to go?
I always suggest folks start at quickcenter.com because all of the information is there. All of the links to the different events and how to get to the other websites, our podcast information, all of those things exist at quickcenter.com. And then from there, they can kind of decide how they want to engage.
What are some of your favorite highlights coming up in the fall season?
I'm of course very excited about our artists. We do have Ann Hampton Callaway returning for a very intimate concert right in her living room with her and her piano. So it was so incredible to have her at the Quick last fall, and she just seemed like the perfect person to have as part of the series. And then we do have the production of Right Before I Go, which was a piece that's part of our Global Theater series, was going to take place last spring, but we were able to move it into the fall season virtually. And there's some, I can't announce names yet, but there's some incredible A-list stars that are going to be a part of it because we were able to move to virtual. So we're super excited about that on October 10th. And it was written by Stan Zimmerman, who incredible producer, TV writer. So a really beautiful piece of theater that's worth engaging with. And then, you know, there's so much. I mean, this evening we have the Barnum Museum collaborating with us to do a whole...
I've seen that listed on social media support.
Yeah. Fact versus fiction and diving into the Greatest Showman. We have Mona Hanna.
Is there a big top? Is that going to be under a big top outdoors?
I wish. We'll all imagine, right? We'll all imagine together in our living rooms that we're under a big top and celebrating P.T. Barnum together.
Have there been some outdoor options? Did you mention at some point when I talked to you a few weeks back? I thought you mentioned
we had some hopes for outdoor. And at this point in time, just because of the safety of the university campus, we're keeping it somewhat contained to virtual for the fall.
Okay.
But our hope is that moving into the spring, we are in the process of finalizing those details, and we'll definitely see what we're able to do. So we're always being creative and always trying to be nimble to what's taking place in the world and our patrons needs.
Again, we're talking with Laurie Jones, who's the Director of Programming and Audience Development for the Quick Center for the Arts at Fairfield University, talking a little bit about the virtual season that's coming up for the fall. And, you know, some ticketed, but as you mentioned, 80% of the offerings are free of charge. So that's impressive. And the speakers that you have lined up and some of the performers for virtual broadcast are quite impressive. So I wish you all the best. Have you been able to, you know, go out and try to book anything or indoors, or is it just, you know, is anybody trying to book dates at this point?
You know, at this point in time, a lot of that conversation is really about next season and just trying to navigate, you know, while everybody's figuring that out. But certainly if there are things that we can retain, we always are trying to.
Right. And, you know, so booking conferences are not necessarily taking place at this point.
Everything's virtual. Yeah. So it is a new world in that sense. But I am still staying very connected with our artists, very connected with the agents and on regular phone calls to make sure that we stay, you know, up to date on the possibilities. So we keep at it.
Great. Yes. I think that's the motto. We're going to keep at it and until we can figure out how we can go indoors and enjoy live performances and concerts and that type
of
thing.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining. Always nice to talk with you, Laurie.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks again. That's going to end it for the month of September for the GM Report. The listeners, I want to thank all my guests, and I just wanted to also thank all of you who support WPKN, either your listeners or your supporters or sponsors or sustainers or underwriters. Whatever you do to keep us moving forward is much appreciated. And I wish you all the best of health as we continue to work diligently to kind of get our way out of all this mess.